previously on Good Sex, Bad Sex. Okay, so we've got BB, who's currently putting on her... What size shoe are you?
Oh, do you know what?
It just couldn't be a simple answer.
The Minch women are quite big of foot. You know what they say.
Well, I'm wearing a wide sole.
I'm a size six, but I'm nearly 5'2". Oh fuck!
Why
I'm nearly
you sit
5'2".
Down to your shoe on?
Do you mind? I'm nearly 5'2". This is hurting my back so much.
See, I'm trying to give her tips. You know, safety is paramount, darling. I mean, she's trying to balance on one foot. I mean, I don't know what's going on here.
Well, not die, but if I hurt myself, who do I sue?
Definitely not me.
No, oh. Not me. Sam. Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. This is a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's kind of like Parliament, but with more whips.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you.
I'm Miranda Kane.
And I'm Bibi Lynch.
And you can find our blogs at metro.co.uk.
This week, we're chatting to Merrell Harris, who is the co-creator and voice, and what a voice, behind Broader View podcast.
Ooh. Hello, my name's Merrell Harris. I'm a sexual health and contraception nurse, and I am the host of Broader View.
So, BB,
yeah, Miranda,
I've got a question for you.
You always have.
I know, it's weird that, isn't it?
Do you know what?
What?
Some I like.
I think you're going to love this one.
Go on.
What was your, when you were younger, what was your sex education like?
There was a mummy dinosaur, a daddy dinosaur. Do you know, I know we had it, but I don't remember. I mean, that could be my age. But I think if we did, I guess it was just about periods.
It's okay. I've seen it written on some rocks in the British Museum.
You're such a bitch. What was yours?
It was cartoons. I remember watching a cartoon.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And had a big fat ginger cat. I've loved cats ever since. Show me your pussy and I get turned on.
Oh, ginger pussy gag. There you go. As lovely as your pussy talk is, Miranda.
Thank you.
Please, can we listen to an expert? I would like to welcome to the probably award-winning Good Sex, Bad Sex
by
podcast.
Now it should be. It
really?
Yeah.
Merrell Harris.
Yay!
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
It's a bloody pleasure. Merrell, we need to congratulate Merrell, Miranda, because today Merrell's podcast, Broader View, is launching.
Right. Oh!
It is.
Actually today.
Today,
so
yes.
Cool.
19th of November.
But when this comes out, that would still be the 19th of November.
Yes.
Are you super excited?
I am. I'm a little bit nervous, but I don't know how it's going to be received. I mean, it's a very sort of organic project, I would say, in that Penny and myself are nurses, but we both have media backgrounds. And we just felt that we needed to talk about a lot of subjects that weren't easily talked about.
In the sex education.
Absolutely.
Way.
So we've tackled things like teenage pregnancy, gender identity, sex education in schools, and internet dating. So just a few of those.
Yeah.
But some of them, and abortion. So a lot of subjects that aren't easily talked about.
With the blurb with the podcast, it says, it quote, Miranda, it offers fresh insight into sexual health and lifestyle, end quote. Do you think fresh insights needed?
So things that we assume that we believe in aren't necessarily true. For example, abortion is actually illegal in this country.
Really?
Now, I didn't actually realise that until sort of looking into it, absolutely. Which is why we need, if you have an abortion, you need two signatures on your consent form, which basically say that it would have an impact on your mental health. And so you're assessed by consultants. So they're trying
That's
to
what the
change.
Form says.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
so,
God.
You know, there's just a few changes that needed. Our sex education is disgraceful in this country. And I guess there's an assumption that everyone has it, but you talk to people. So I carried out some focus groups with teenagers who just had no idea. You know, I'm a sexual health worker, so I'm a nurse. And contraception. So we have people in all the time who didn't know how they got pregnant. I have no idea about contraception. So, yeah, we need to change our education system.
So are you aiming the podcast at policymakers or more teenagers, people who are new, do need educating?
So or? I think, I mean, currently they're trying to reform the SRE.
What's SRE?
Sex and relationship education in this country. You know, it's 18 years old when it was first written. And that's before we had the internet. They haven't tackled gender issues, you know, LGBTQ+.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, grooming on the internet. These are all things that need to be changed. They, you know, our sex relationship education classes promote, you know, heterosexual as the norm. They talk about reproductive systems, but that's about it.
Yeah. Did you read, Miranda, that Jess Phillips, the Labour MP, was saying that girls should be taught how to orgasm in sex education classes?
Oh, no, I didn't read that.
What do you think about that?
I think what she's saying...
Maybe not how to. It wasn't, like, you know, in his practical...
I don't think she's saying, let's go in and teach people how to masturbate.
No.
But I think what she's saying is that women can claim her sexuality, their sexuality, you know, that...
Learn that they exist.
They exist. We're not there to pleasure men and try and resist and, you know, just try not to get pregnant. You know, sex is enjoyable for women and men.
Yeah. Because in sex education, all you hear is like, well, when the man comes, that's when the magic happens and you get a baby. And you never taught that women can climax, should be able to climax. And also, what there might be things that are stopping her from climaxing. Mm. And so you aren't taught that. So I think that's...
What? So you're much younger than me. What was your sex education?
By days.
What was your sex education at school? Do you remember?
My sex education was the old condom on a banana. And I remember
that's
this.
That's a party in my head.
It's Friday night. I remember this. With the girls and the boys were separated, so the boys didn't. The girls learnt about periods and basically what would be a, you know, fucking torture for the next 40 years once a month, and the boys weren't. So I don't know to this day what the boys were taught, and the guys obviously weren't told that girls had periods. So it was. I mean, this was like, I think this was like late 80s, early 90s.
I don't think it's changed much since then, to be fair.
No.
It really hasn't. And I think, you know, it's not fair on teachers as well. They're very unclear about what they have to teach, what they can and can't teach.
Yeah.
You know, if they're in a religious school, then can they talk about LGBTQ? You know, it's. I think it's as difficult
because the parents
for them.
Would kick off.
Absolutely.
So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
So Miranda and I have talked about this before, and I think this is really interesting as well. It's not just children that need sex education, of course they do, but STIs are on the increase with people over 50.
Yeah.
It's a small
and it's not all down to me, is it?
I didn't want to say, baby.
It's not down
you
to
know,
me.
We'll talk about it later.
And it's not down
Come
to
see me.
Me. It's not down to me because, Miranda, what hasn't happened since we've had the podcast?
Sex! Carry on.
So, well, I did give you a lesson in how to put on a condom.
She did. And I had
on a banana.
How did I do?
I think you did really well, but you did promise me that you were going to do it with your mouth. But we can do that another time.
Sorry, that whole condom with a banana thing. Do you know the main thing that I remember about the condom with a banana was never open the condom packet with your teeth. That is the main thing. Just in case it split the condom open. It wasn't like there were different sizes of condoms you can get.
Absolutely.
Like the amount of guys.
Different flavours,
different textures. The amount of guys that I met whilst I was working and in my private life that were like, oh, I don't like condoms, they're too tight. And I'm like, have you tried a larger condom? And they were like, but they had their mind blown that you could get a large condom.
So blokes didn't even know.
No, because they thought, oh, those Trojan ones are for guys with big dicks. And it's like, no, you can also use them if, like, you're just feeling like you're if it's pinching. Yeah.
Can you not say the word dick? Would you? Because it's a penis. And this is for we have.
Sorry, I know. I'm in the. I forget that. It's quite difficult because I, you know, in one sense, I'm in the room with you.
Yes. and in the other sense,
I am in a room with a nurse and a sexual health educator.
Thank you. Yeah.
So in which case, it should be penis. I am very sorry. I'm not apologising to Bebe there.
No. I don't mind what you call it. Honestly.
Little Derek.
Little Dell.
It depends what they're paying me for, to be fair.
Fair enough.
But STIs are up for over 50s.
They are, but there's a number of reasons there. And I think, you know, this is a very slight increase. Let's get this in perspective. Okay. You know, the 30s and under is the highest increase in STIs. So it's a very small increase, but it is an increase. And we have looked at why, and I think we are we, we're about the same age. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through the, you know, the free sex and...
It's never free.
And I think 50s and over, we were never taught how to put on condoms. You know, it wasn't one of those things. And if you've been in a relationship and you're getting a divorce, you know, you're tackling going back into the market, you know, having sex again, showing your body. And I don't think 50s and over are very good at negotiating condom use. So I think that's partly the reason.
People my age, so I'm in my late 30s, and I grew up with those awful adverts for HIV and AIDS, yeah. Those, the, you know, the really terrible ones that were like, oh,
we're going to die.
Yeah, exactly. But what they did install in me was a fear. So, like, people my age and my friends were like, how can people not be using condoms? Because we were there during the AIDS epidemic and HIV awareness and just a time when it was...
But that fear's gone now.
Yeah, this is condoms and these are going to save your life. I don't want to... put AIDS and HIV into, like, the kind of thing, like, where we need that kind of scare back. You know, I don't want that kind of stigma at all. But there needs to be... Don't you think we need something to say to people you need condoms and contraception again?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the scare is less. Now we have brilliant medication for HIV, you know, antiretrovirals. If you can have an undetectable viral load.
Yeah.
Please don't ask me about that right now.
Could I ask you about the undetectable?
That wasn't the sign I was expecting.
Sorry, but you couldn't hear the sign, could you? And if you have an undetectable viral load, you won't pass on the HIV virus. So people can have babies, you can have sex, and you won't pass it on. But of course, what's on the increase now are other STIs.
So we're seeing
syphilis, super gonorrhea, chlamydia.
Syphilis is back, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
I think we need a syphilis advert, like, you know, where people were losing their noses and going mad, something like that. Because I can't believe that that's back on the cards.
What? I literally don't know what to say.
Do you know? Have you got it?
I don't know. I'm on a Jaffa cake, let me think. Syphilis is back. Bloody hell.
Super gonorrhea and super all these gonorrhea. Crazy things. It and is. Kids, of course, which is the worst STI you can
get. The 50s and overs have always navigated how to not get pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, within, if they've been in a long-term relationship. So coming out of that, and then thinking, God, I should wear a condom. And of course, back in the days before the 80s, there wasn't a big emphasis on sexually transmitted infections, apart from the evil women who passed it on to the men.
Oh, of course. You know,
So I think times are changing, but this all needs to be reflected back in the sex and relationship education in our schools.
What's bad sex education then?
No sex education at all. Because you're leaving, you know, children, young people, teenagers open to, you know, they're curious, they're going to investigate, they're going to tap it into, and what they're going to get instead, porn.
Yeah.
You know, so if we give good, robust education, then we can probably head off a lot of unnecessaryness.
Can I move away from disease?
Of course.
And to the joy of the orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It's a tenuous one. But so there's a company called Lalo. And they are suggesting that the more orgasms people have, the more productive they are in terms, because they're happier. So they have, you know, they have a nicer life. They go back to work. They're like, work extra hours, blah, 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 because of their orgasms. So if they're not having orgasms, therefore they're less productive. So what they're saying is, and they're doing this with their own staff, they're suggesting self-love days. Oh. So, you know, duvet day.
Yeah.
This is a self-love day. We just stay at home and wank.
Oh.
This reminds me of that Woody Allen film. You know, the one where they had the sex ball,
the orgasmatron.
We all need that.
Can we all have a wank holiday?
I really do. Come on. That's why she's paid. How much are you paid?
Not enough.
Have I paid you yet?
Well, yeah, you brought in some cranberry incoats from Pret a Manger, so that's lovely.
And Jaffa cake.
Okay. I had to buy the Jaffa cake.
Sorry.
Don't give her Jaffa cake credit.
Yeah, don't do that. But sex education should be just across the board how it's good for you. I mean, health-wise, it just must be good for you having more sex.
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of everything that's moving.
Serotonin release, you know, it dilates the capillaries, yeah. And it's more blood flow, yeah. So more for oxygen. Absolutely, it's good for your immune system.
And it gives you that moment for yourself, doesn't it? Just like, this is my moment.
Oh my God, what do you mean?
Just 5 minutes out of your day, like, oh, because I'm self-employed.
Yeah.
And
now you know what she does with the rest of the day.
Why did I start that sentence? Yeah. Oh, God. No, but, like, you, sometimes everything can just get a bit on top of me.
Oh, my God. Do you like to put your hand in that?
Oh, my God. Sometimes you just have to flick from one thing to another.
Oh, God, thumbs up.
Well, you know what it's like. Sometimes you just got too many fingers in too many pies. I'm so sorry.
No. I'm a Catholic and it stops there. I'm not going any further because my dead parents will be appalled.
Yeah, but it's just that moment of just going, right, well, you know, things are stressing me out. What can I do? And do you not do that? No, I am on my own little tiny island here, aren't I?
This is just me. The island
paddling desperately.
Is it the island of clitoris?
The island of clitoris.
Clitoris. The question before us is, where's her clitoris? That's Bette Midler. Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry.
Future of what you do in your... So you've got the podcast, and we can talk a bit more about that after, but what's the future in terms of your sex education and in how you're helping people?
We're just opening up debate, I think. We're just talking to lots of people. So we talked to an MP, we've done focus groups with teenagers. You know, we've spoken to teachers to see how they feel. So it's just opening up debate and then just putting it out there. We're not sort of saying to people, we're not trying to drive opinions, or it's very gentle. It's just saying, this is what there is. This is what's happening at this moment. What do you think about it? Let's try and open up your minds, you know, just broaden those views.
I've had the pleasure of hearing the first podcast, and they are... I mean, this is brilliantly produced because it's producer Sam, so yours won't be as good as this, but it's so brilliantly done because Penny and Morel both worked in radio, and they're like these kind of feature packages, and I can't believe the amount of work. There's like amazing interviews and stats and Morel's that voice, and it's just, they're so brilliantly done, so they're beautiful.
Thank you.
Amazing. Can I quickly mention your dad?
Of course.
Morel's dad is Bob Harris.
He would love that. You might actually have to do that again. He would listen to that and be like,
but also
whispering Bob Harris.
So actually, being a nurse for sort of 15 years, I've actually found an area I really would like to talk about, and I think it's really important. So that's that. But I've always, my dad is completely open, forward-thinking person. You know, he's very youthful in his outlook. And I think of matters of the heart and everything else, he's always been my go-to person.
But he's still your dad, and you're still talking about...
I'm not talking about my sex.
Oh, okay. Okay. Still your dad!
he's very youthful, shall I say, in his outlook. You can have a conversation with him pretty much about anything.
That's amazing. What are the subjects you're going to cover in the podcast?
So I said we're going to do gender identity, abortion, internet dating diaries. We've got teenage pregnancies and, of course, sex education in schools. We're then looking at doing things like we're going to do girl gangs, disabilities and sex, which is not often talked about, you know, so we're really looking at this sort of ongoing.
And people can get it wherever they get their podcasts, I guess.
Absolutely.
Is it every week or monthly?
We're doing it monthly at the moment, and we're really trying to figure out where to put abortion, because the next one is Christmas. It's not really a Christmassy... is a not an
there ideal. There was no room at the inn, so she got it shut out.
Yeah, so we've got to think about how to plan this a little bit better, but that was the original idea. But, I mean, nothing should be depressing, you know. No. It always should just be a platform for conversation. Yeah,
they're so interesting. Your brain just buzzes with them. They're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Can we just give Mireille the clap?
Oh. Yay!
Thanks so much to Mireille Harris. What a voice!
Oh my God, I love that voice. Do her voice.
I can't. I'm not giving it justice, but I am gonna sell it on ASMR videos. I'm gonna pimp her voice.
So she's been Del Boy.
Oh, thank you, Rodders. Oh, you can...
And Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Plonker. No. Oh, poor Dave. Oh. My name is Bebe Lynch.
And I'm Miranda Trigger Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Sam Bonham.
And we are going to be back for more Good Sex, Bad Sex next week.
I hate it how you say that.